Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, is success just random or due to good luck?
No.
Well, are there things a person can do to become a real success?
Yes. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, the Bible teaches us that love never fails, and attaining love is success. Now, the Apostle Peter was inspired to write how you attain Philadelphian love. If we go to 2 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 5, he wrote, "For this reason, given all diligence, add your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness." Now this is the word Philadelphian in Greek, and to brotherly kindness love. "For if these things are yours and abound, you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten he was cleansed from his old sins." Verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
That's interesting. I never thought of loving as being successful. Yet you have just quoted the scripture that says, "One who loves will never stumble."
That's correct. You know, the Apostle Peter was showing us how to have real success. While there's many things that can help people become successful, we're going to focus on one he mentioned. That was knowledge, and knowledge that comes from true education. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it adds that wisdom brings success. So right knowledge and its use, wisdom, brings success. And true education helps lead to that.
Where can one find true education?
Well, in addition to the Bible itself, one of these is the function of the ministry. In Romans chapter 10, it says, how are people going to believe if there's no preacher who's preaching the good tidings? And in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote that God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints. So until Jesus comes, that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we might grow into all things to him who is ahead, who's Christ, for the whole body, and will grow and edify itself in love. Proper hierarchical church governance provides true education. Now, those independent of that are likely to be carried by improper winds of doctrine, including, by the way, false prophetic understandings. Now, getting back to education, in the last century, in his booklet, The Seven Laws of Success, the late pastor general of the old Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Everett Armstrong, called this the vital second law of success, and that was preparation. He calls it education of preparation. He says we're different than dumb animals. They've got instinct. We don't have that, and we have to learn things like reading, writing, and he said arithmetic. Okay. And one of the things we need to learn, he says, is we need to learn that we have to learn. And you need the right goal. But once you have that goal, you need to learn the way to acquire it. And our goal should be to seek first the kingdom of God. And he says, a lot of people don't have the right goal. They don't have any aim for it. And then they don't get the right education for that anyway. Now, in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, we read in Deuteronomy 17, that kings are supposed to read that book as well as to write it. So that was part of their education. You say, well, what's got to do with us nowadays? Well, in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we find out the New Testament teaches that Christians are supposed to be kings and priests. It says that Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and his Father. Well, kings and priests need education and training to properly handle those roles. Kings rule and are to make wise judgments, and priests are supposed to teach.
Where can someone learn to be a king and a priest to God according to the standards of Jesus?
Well, you don't have to have a lot of formal education to be educated in true knowledge. In the book of Acts, by the way, chapter 8, the Lord spoke to Philip, said, go to find this eunuch. who's reading Isaiah, and he comes up to him, and the eunuch says, "Oh, how can I understand unless someone guides me?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began to preach to him. So again, you see ministry helping people to learn. But more than that, not only do we need teachers now, if we're real Christians, we're actually going to be teachers during the millennium. And you can read that in Isaiah chapter 30, starting in verse 20. It says, "Your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Wherever you turn to the right hand, or you turn to the left." Now, these teachers it's talking about here are resurrected Christians. The more you're educated in the ways of God, the better you will be able to teach in the millennium.
You can't be more successful than being a resurrected Christian. Does the Bible provide direction to parents to help teach their children to follow this path?
Sure. Proverbs 22, verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, it says, "I command you this today. You'll teach these diligently to your children. The talk of my words when you get in your house, when you walk by your way, when you sit down, and you rise up." Of course, in addition to moral and biblical instruction, people also learn how to read and write and do arithmetic and whatever so they can function in society. Now, my wife and I and our two older sons have various college and university degrees, okay? But in this age of woke colleges and universities, caution is advised. And for some people, technical school training is a better way to go for vocational stuff than universities. Now, that said, don't think because there may only be a decade or so of this age left, you don't need to be concerned about education either. If you're young, you may end up into the millennium, and your education may benefit you then.
Okay, so what about those of us that are more mature in years, Dr. Teal? What direction might the Bible point us in?
Well, if you're older, your spiritual education may be used in a lot of different ways. So, Christians are begotten children of God, and we're to be trained. And we should be like the Bereans who studied and searched the scriptures. It says in Acts 17:10, they received the word of God with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so, which meant they knew how to read, okay, and they were trying to become educated. And Peter wrote 2 Peter 3:18, that we're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be prepared enough so we can answer questions to non-believers. For example, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says that we're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and to always be ready to give a defense, or the word in the Old King James, to give an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And you can't give an answer if you're not prepared, if you're not educated. Now, interestingly, in the book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, here's a prophecy. "And those who understand shall instruct many." Now, the old radio church of God taught, Daniel prophesied that people who know their God will be strong. Such a statement can only refer to God's people. Notice what follows. "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many." That prophecy concerns God's church, and I agree. Sadly, many have forgotten this prophecy, or at least what to do about it, even though it's going to be fulfilled within the next decade or so. Now, I want to go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. "For though by the time you ought to be teachers," Paul writes, "you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principle is the oracles of God. You have need of milk and not solid food." So what happened is Paul was talking about real Christians, and he was disappointed that they hadn't grown more in knowledge. We're supposed to be able to be teachers. Yes, the ability to instruct is a New Testament concept. Those who learned as they should are subject to being used by God to instruct many. When Jesus returns, his people are called volunteers, by the way. I'm going to go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 110, starting verse 2. "The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power." Now, do you want to be a volunteer of Jesus? Well, you should be. You should want that.
Well, how would someone go about being successful at volunteering for Jesus?
To realize you're supposed to be witnesses. It says in Isaiah 43, verse 10, "You are my witnesses," says the Lord. And in Acts 5, starting verse 29, the New Testament, Peter and the apostles answered, "We are his witnesses of these things, as also is the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey him." That's from the AFV. Now, how can Philadelphian Christians be witnesses, take action, and instruct many if they're not prepared? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus said in Mark 13, the Holy Spirit will assist us. He said, "We'll be brought before governors and kings for his name's sake as a testimony. When he deliver you," okay, I'm sorry, I'm reading Mark 10. "You don't have to worry how you speak. The Spirit of your Father speaks in you." And in Mark 13, he said, "Watch for yourselves, or they'll deliver you to councils, and you'll be beaten. You're brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony. This gospel must be first preached to the nations. When they arrest you and deliver you, don't worry or premeditate to speak. Whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, because that which it's not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit."
So then, is it just a matter of staying close to God and waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak through us?
Well, that's part of it. The Holy Spirit will bring to mind things you have studied, but it will also assist you with these things. As Jesus said in John 14, 25, "I've spoken of these things to you. Comforter comes, Holy Spirit, will teach you all things, bring remembrance of everything I've told you." So the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance things you've been taught. So you need to be prepared. Okay. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Old King James, Apostle Paul wrote, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, so you can rightly divide the word of truth." Okay, so we're supposed to study. That also reading the Bible, paying attention to sermons, but also reading church literature. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul wrote, "He thanks God always that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge." Okay, now, we're supposed to be enriched with knowledge. And if you are, God may use you, not just for friends, but potentially to instruct many, as I mentioned in Daniel 11, verse 33. Now, in Luke 21, Jesus again said that we're going to be brought before kings for his name's sake. Don't settle beforehand. You'll have this wisdom to speak, because the Holy Spirit will bring things to remembrance to you. Meaning, it's not going to bring something to remembrance to you that you never learned. Therefore, you need to be educated. So we need physical and spiritual instruction to be the success God wants us to be. The Apostle Peter wrote, 2 Peter chapter 1, "Grace and peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus." Verse 5, giving all diligence, you know, I told adding to your faith, knowledge, and all those kinds of stuff. Now, we're in the Laodicean era of the church. And one of the issues with that is Jesus chastises the Laodiceans because they're not diligent. In Revelation 3, 14, he says to the Laodiceans, "I know your works." 15, "You're not cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. But because you're lukewarm, say you're fine, don't need anything, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth." Well, They're not diligent in their proper education or supporting the Philadelphian work. Mm-hmm. So the question is, for all of us, do we love our neighbor enough to want to help them more? Do we truly have Philadelphian love and support God's work? True success is not a matter of luck. True education can help you be a true loving success.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.